Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We're seeing a nice break from the heat and humidity today. 87 in Raleigh, 85 in Durham, 88 in Fayetteville with low humidity. It will feel more comfortable today, but just for today, the heat and humidity come rolling back toward the end of the week. I'll show you when we could see a record high.
And breaking news on the roads this morning. We have three crashes creating some pretty big problems. I'll show you the trouble spots and how big the backups are.
And it is a party here at Durham County Memorial Stadium this morning, where you can see thousands of teachers here for DPS's convocation, the first one since 2018.
And Republican presidential candidates will descend on Milwaukee tonight for the Republican primary debate. What you can expect as we see the first mugshots of former President Trump's co-defendants in the Georgia indictment. We have that and a lot more to get your Wednesday morning started. We're halfway through the week. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, but this is the payoff for the last 2 days of our work week.
Yeah.
Because it feels really nice out there. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Sun's up and it's beautiful.
It is. It feels so nice when you open the door. This is a live look at North Hills, and you can see the blue sky here over Raleigh. 70 degrees is our current temperature, but our dew point's way down at 63, so it feels nice. We did drop into the 60s just for about an hour or so a little while ago. So that sunshine is going to start to warm things up, and we climb into the mid to upper 80s this afternoon, which is near normal for this time of year. Still 67 in Goldsboro, 68 in Rocky Mountain, 63 in South Hill. Hour by hour, mid 80s at lunchtime, and we'll see a high of 87. If you're going to be out this evening doing some exercise, some yard work, looking to eat dinner outside, 6 to 7 o'clock, temperatures will be in the low to mid 80s, and without the humidity, it'll feel just fine. Tropical Storm Franklin is likely to make landfall here very soon on the island of Hispaniola. Of course, this is where the Dominican Republic and Haiti are. It's moving north at 10 miles per hour with winds at 50, but it's the rain that's likely to be the biggest issue. 5 to 10 inches with some areas up to a foot of rain, which is likely to cause mudslides and flooding for those folks. It weakens a little bit over the island, but then regains strength back out here into the Atlantic, becoming Category 1 late this week, early in the weekend. And we can follow the storm as it travels northward off the coast of North Carolina. This run of the computer model keeps it several hundred miles offshore, but we could still see some rip current danger and possibly some beach erosion. We'll talk about those impacts in more detail coming up, Brian.
Elizabeth, 802 right now, and it's a busy morning out there with a few crashes creating some pretty big backups. We're going to start in Knightdale. This is 87 southbound at the Smithfield Road interchange. We had a crash blocking all but one lane out there a little while ago. It has been now moved to the median and the shoulder. No emergency vehicles on the scene, but we're still working through some pretty big delays. It's starting to get a little better, though. About a 43-minute backup overall on 87 southbound. With all those lanes open, we should see a lot of improvement. Backups began right around Wendell Falls Parkway, and it is solidly backed up all the way out towards Smithfield Road. If you can pick up 87 southbound from Smithfield Road, you're on the other side of those backups. Also, a crash on 85 northbound, not too far from the Orange-Durham County line, right there in the Eno community. A 13-minute delay showing up now as you make that trip out of Hillsboro, out toward Durham. Consider using 70 is a good alternate route. Also on 40 eastbound, right around Page Road in the RTP area, a crash over on the right shoulder, a 5-minute delay this morning, leaving Chapel Hill heading into South Durham. Elsewhere around the triangle, look out for some backups on US 1 northbound, leaving Apex heading up toward Cary. Also some slowdown starting to show up on 440 westbound as you head between the New Bern Avenue and Capitol Boulevard interchanges. Elsewhere, I-40 is looking okay through Garner, but slowing down there on the south side of Raleigh.
Just a few days before the traditional school year calendar starts, and today there's a big event to help your child succeed in the classroom. For the first time since 2018, Durham Public Schools is kicking off the new year with a convocation. WRAL's Laura Levine is live at Durham County Stadium, where things just got underway. It's packed there, Laura.
Oh my goodness, Jeff. The energy here inside Durham County Stadium is amazing. Look at all the people behind me. I mean, nearly every seat filled here. And as you can see, they're cheering because the event is just moments away from getting started. This is the first convocation ceremony for DPS in 5 years, but truthfully, it feels like a pep rally. We have cheerleaders, we have the music, the DJ, the band. It's just a great time. They're really encouraging the staff before school starts on Monday. Superintendent Superintendent Dr. Pascal Mubenga. We just spoke with him. He says this is a way to set the tone for the new school year. And along with having a guest speaker, the school system will also unveil its latest strategic plan. So today's theme is called Building Our Future. Very fitting. We recently spoke with him about some of the challenges that they have to face, such as the bus driver shortages, teacher staffing, pandemic learning loss, and school safety.
We have a strong student services department. We're making sure we have curriculum in place when it comes to social-emotional learning. We've been implementing this for the past 3 years with elementary schools. This academic year, we're going to start that with our high school and middle school as well. So that's giving students tools how to deal with their emotions.
So again, the energy out here is truly amazing. This event is going to run until 9:15. It's important if you are traveling throughout Durham to know that Roxborough Road and Stadium Drive is going to have some pretty heavy traffic impacts until this event wraps up. Laura Levine, WREL News, we're live in Durham.
And breaking overnight, we're getting our first look at mugshots for two of Donald Trump's co-defendants in the Georgia election case. Attorney John Eastman and bail bondsman Scott Hall are the first co-defendants to surrender. They turned themselves in yesterday and were booked into the jail in Atlanta. This comes just one day before former President Trump is expected to turn himself in after being indicted. The Fulton County Sheriff says Trump will be treated like local inmates during the booking process. Trump's legal team negotiated a $200,000 bond.
Meanwhile, Michelle, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is trying to find a loophole to avoid being arrested before Friday's deadline. In a newly filed motion, Meadows pointed to the court's plans to hold a hearing Monday on his request that the case be moved to federal court. Bond agreements are still being discussed for other co-defendants. Trump's former personal attorney Rudy Giuliani is set to meet with the DA's office today to discuss his.
And back here locally, starting today, a new project in Chapel Hill aimed to keep pedestrians safe could cause issues for your morning commute. The work is happening at the intersection of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Estes Drive. Crews will be upgrading the sidewalks between the YMCA and the Shadowwood Apartments. The northbound lane of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard will be closed while the work is completed. It's expected to last about 3 months. And coming up in our next half hour, WREL's Kelsey Coffey joins us with a closer look at the goals of the project.
Happening today, leaders in Durham County are examining ways to reduce gun violence in the community. The Building a Safer Community conference is happening today at the Durham Convention Center. Representatives from the fields of law enforcement, health and human services, housing and education will talk about strategies to tackle violence. Local and state government leaders will also be part of the conversation.
The Wake County District Attorney says she has no plans to open a criminal investigation into House Speaker Tim Moore. Wake County Democratic Representative Terrence Everett called for a probe into possible embezzlement, bribery, or misconduct of public office. DA Lauren Freeman says that she sees no basis for an investigation into the House Speaker, telling WREL, quote, I respect Representative Everett's interest in ensuring that the public funds are appropriately used and that public office is not abused. His letter does not contain any information new to our office. There is no basis to move forward with a criminal investigation.
New this morning, we have an update from the FBI on its effort to identify those unaccounted for in the Maui wildfires. We now know 115 people are confirmed dead, and the FBI says about 1,000 are still missing. Police say they're taking their time to make sure every part of the island destroyed by fire is searched for human remains. They're encouraging family members of the missing to provide their DNA to help identify their loved ones. Officials say they expect the number of confirmed dead to rise, and even after their searches are complete, there will still be many who are considered presumed dead.
Former President Trump will not be among the Republican presidential candidates taking the stage tonight for their first debate. Mike Pence, Ron DeSantis, Chris Christie, and Nikki Haley will be among the candidates facing off in the debate hosted by Fox News. And while Trump will not be on the stage, he's the front runner in the race and is expected to be a big topic of discussion. And instead of going to the debate, Trump recorded an interview with former Fox News anchor Tucker Carlson. The Washington Post reporting the interview will go live tonight on X, which is formerly known as Twitter.
A bride in Massachusetts is scrambling now ahead of her destination wedding after the couple's dog ate the groom's passport.
I knew in that moment that I had to be the calm, cool, and collected one.
Well, we'll see how she did. Coming up, we'll hear from the couple who says they can't stay mad at their pop.
Absolutely not. He's so cute. And scary moments for actress Drew Barrymore as she's approached by a stalker at a public event straight ahead the moment that she was moved to safety.
And when you open the door this morning, it doesn't feel like yesterday. Our dew point's way down here at 63, which puts it in the tolerable category. I'll show you why it won't be long before we're back to tropical coming up.
Welcome back on your Wednesday morning. You are looking live at a beautiful sunny Apex this morning. It's going to feel nice out there today. You're watching WREL News, available on Spectrum and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. And if you have already been outside this morning, you probably already know it just feels so much better out there. It's like a breath of fresh air, Elizabeth.
Oh, and thank that cold front that moved through last night. You were talking about the fact that you saw a little shower from that late yesterday as it was moving on through. I didn't see any at my house. I had to actually pull out the sprinklers. But boy, it's beautiful behind that front. We have drier, cooler air in place. And it's a little breezy this morning. You can see the whirligigs here in Wilson, that blue sky. Our temperature around the triangle is sitting at 70 right now, but our dew point's way down at 63. And it'll be a slow warm up today as we have that cooler air filtering in. We'll hit 83 degrees at lunchtime, and we'll see highs in the upper 80s around the triangle this afternoon. And that's a nice break compared to what we saw yesterday. Thanks to Ethan Clark, who sent us this photo of students headed back to class at NC State. That walk to class today will feel much nicer than it did yesterday. 63 in South Hill and Roxborough, 67 Goldsboro, 71 in Southern Pines, 72 in Fayetteville. So feeling comfortable with that drop in our humidity. And temperatures are a little cooler, too. It's 5 degrees cooler in Fayetteville, Raleigh, in Durham than it was this time yesterday, and 8 degrees cooler in Rocky Mount. And that's enough that you will notice the difference. 87 the high today in Raleigh, 85 in Durham, and 88 in Fayetteville. And that's what it will feel like. When we have a lot of moisture in the atmosphere, it feels hotter than it really is. But that won't be the case today as we dry things out nicely. Now, the humidity is in green to our east and to our west, and it just sort of slips back in and takes over by the time we get to late tomorrow. So tomorrow's going to feel more humid, and that humidity really climbs for us on Friday and Saturday until another front comes through that helps to cool us off for Sunday. So second half of the weekend will feel more comfortable. Today feeling comfy, Thursday and Friday it's steamy, and then Saturday at tropical, which is our highest level of humidity, at least on our scale. So 87 today, then 93 Thursday feeling like 95, and 99 on Friday feeling like 104. There'll be parts of the viewing area Friday that feel like 105 or hotter, and that could put us under a heat advisory for Friday, possibly Saturday too. We'll also have the potential to tie a record high. Our forecast is 99 for Friday. And that's the record at RDU set in 2007. And in Fayetteville, our forecast is 100, and the record was 100. So we're pushing record highs on Friday. Slightly cooler Saturday. We do get back into a little wetter pattern. It's not going to pour down rain all day, but a few scattered storms Friday, Saturday, into Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So back to those afternoon storms. But it's also cooler on Sunday, back to 89. And for the first day of school for a lot of kids, a high of just 84. Brian?
That's not bad at all. It is now 8:16. We're still watching these delays as you come in from Knightdale on 87 southbound. This is the camera out at Smithfield Road, and you can see plenty of activity here in the median and also on the right shoulder. No travel lanes are blocked right now, but look out for that activity. Move over if you can. Slow down otherwise. Right now, you can see a lot of improvement there. A six-minute delay as opposed to the nearly hour-long delay we were measuring at the height of all this, and most of that is confined to the area right around Smithfield Road. If you can pick it up from Smithfield Road, you should be in fine shape heading out toward 540. Some good news in South Durham. This is I-40 out at Page Road on that eastbound side. That earlier crash on the right shoulder now has cleared. Still seeing about a five-minute delay coming in from Chapel Hill overall as you head through South Durham. We still have that crash on 85 northbound on the east side of Hillsborough over toward the Eno area. About a 14-minute delay on 85 north leaving Hillsborough heading back toward Durham. Use 70 as a good alternate route this morning as you make your way through that Eno community. Pick up I-85 from there, and you should be in good shape heading toward Durham. A little bit of a backup in both directions of 885 right now in Durham. Not seeing big delays because of that. Also still tracking those backups on US 1 northbound right around the Highway 55 interchange in Apex once you get to Tryon Road and 64 in Cary. Traffic's flowing pretty well this morning, and overall around Raleigh we're looking pretty good. We are still watching the sensors right around that DPS convocation ceremony. Good news, looks like everybody got to where they're supposed to be, and traffic now is flowing freely on Duke Street north of I-85.
The head football coach at Southwest Edgecombe High School is facing charges for a hit-and-run crash from over the weekend in Wilson. Carter Varnell is charged with hit-and-run, reckless driving, and resisting officers. It happened early Saturday morning. Officers found a damaged SUV on Jetstream Drive with some debris nearby. They followed it and saw Varnell running away from a truck. He was then arrested and did not give a comment when we reached him. We're working to learn about his employment status at Edgecombe County Schools.
There soon could be an end to the Hollywood writers' strike. Studios have given the Writers Guild a new proposal that would give them their biggest raise in 35 years. The package also features first-of-their-kind offers for writers, including in the areas of generative artificial intelligence, data transparency, and minimum staffing. The Writers Guild has been on strike since early May. Meanwhile, actors gathered for a rally yesterday in Burbank. Actors have been striking since last month. The two strikes have shut down most TV and film production in the U.S.
Video is circulating online of a scary encounter between Drew Barrymore and an audience member in New York. Here's what happened. She was at an interview with actor and singer Renee Rapp when suddenly out of nowhere, a man started yelling Barrymore's name, and the man proceeded to make claims saying that Barrymore knew him and that he needed to see her at some point while he's in New York. Barrymore and Rapp quickly got off that stage. Security surrounded the man and got him back away from the stage. NYPD did not press any charges under the circumstance that Chad Michael Busto willingly surrendered to authorities.
Thousands of students are heading back to the classroom at a time when COVID is on the rise. Only on WREL, the state's top health official is making his position on school closures clear. Health and Human Services Secretary Cody Kinsley says that his department is minimizing risk by promoting vaccinations, at-home testing, treatment if you get COVID, and masking up for those who want to do that. A return to remote learning is not in the playbook. So here's what he had to say last night.
Could we see schools closing again?
That is not where we need to be. We have the tools to manage COVID, so it doesn't manage
You're
us.
Not looking like, it's not looking like that's going to be a solution for you guys. Okay.
And trends from around the state are showing increases in case spread, while COVID-19 hospital admissions and emergency department visits are also increasing across the state. But still, Kinsley says right now surge levels are not much higher than where they were this time last year. And WREL's Ashley Rowe also asked Kinsley about possible Medicaid expansion delays. You can watch that interview on WREL.com.
A company in North Carolina dumped massive amounts of toxic chemicals into the Cape Fear River for decades. That's the drinking water supply for hundreds of thousands of people. These forever chemicals also contaminated the air and groundwater surrounding the plant. We first learned of this contamination 5 years ago, but thousands of people are forced to use contaminated water today. WREL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance and WREL environmental reporter Liz McLaughlin teamed up to show what is happening in these contaminated areas. You can watch Forever Chemicals, North Carolina's toxic tap water, tonight at 7:30 on WREL or on WREL.com. You can also find it on the WREL Doc YouTube page at 8 p.m. Fighting childhood cancer, one haircut at a time, with the money benefiting St. Baldrick's Foundation. It was a packed house at the Springfield Area Rec Club in Raleigh, where volunteers had their hair cut in solidarity with children battling cancer. The president of St. Baldrick's told WREL these events have raised more than $1 million for pediatric cancer research. Volunteers came to the stage as people in the audience donated money for those new hairdos.
It's such a cool foundation. I love that. All right, get this. A Massachusetts couple, they're really excited for their destination wedding in Italy at the end of the month. But there's one problem. The couple's dog chewed up the groom's passport. The guilty party is a 1.5-year-old golden retriever. Donato Frateroli and Magda Masri are trying to get Donato an emergency passport now because of this guy.
I am just going full steam ahead, just hoping that I'll be able to get on that plane on Friday. And Donato will get his passport, because at the end of the day, the most important thing to us is that we get married.
Worst case scenario, our guests are going to go over there and have a fantastic time. I will be probably back here. I'm going to probably encourage my fiance to go and enjoy it as well.
Oh my goodness. Magda says that she can't blame the dog, saying she was just upset the couple wasn't bringing her to the wedding. She's like, listen, if I'm not going, neither are you. I'm chewing the passport.
And not only, I mean, chewed up the picture, the barcode on there, like all the vital stuff that you need. So they've contacted their senator, their congressman, and they're seeing what they're going to do, holding out hope, crossing their fingers.
But you can't stay mad. Look how cute that dog is. You have a golden, Jeff. You would know.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And I probably still would after that incident. I guess.
Yeah.
I'd be mad, though. This morning, there's new body cam video of the moments police saved a woman they found chained up in a house in Kentucky. Coming up in our next half hour, how neighbors helped police get that woman to safety.
And thousands of Durham school employees are meeting today ahead of the start of classes, the issues that leaders want to address as students get ready to return to school.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Time now is 8:26 on your Wednesday morning. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We have a couple traffic backups on the roads. Brian Schrader is tracking them all for us. Brian, what's going on?
Still watching three main trouble spots around the triangle, although we are seeing a lot of improvement here over the past few minutes. Going to start off in Knightdale at 87 southbound at Smithfield Road. An earlier crash that blocked a few lanes out there now has been moved to the shoulder and the median. Right now we're measuring a 4-minute slowdown coming in through Knightdale. However, 64 Business or Knightdale Boulevard is pretty heavily congested as you head through Knightdale back toward 540. Also still watching some delays on 85 northbound because of a crash right around the Orange-Durham County line. About a 9-minute delay there heading toward Durham. Consider using 70 as a good alternate route. And 40 eastbound out of Chapel Hill, an earlier crash around Page Road, largely cleared now. About a 6-minute delay heading through South Durham.
It feels nice outside right now. We've had a drop in humidity and our temperatures are comfortable. Wilson checking in at 68. A little breezy. You can see the whirly gigs moving. 70 in Durham and 72 in Fayetteville. Heading out the door, you don't need a jacket. It's not cool enough for that. You don't need your umbrella either. But by Friday, we start to move into a wetter pattern with some afternoon storms. Enjoy today walking the dog. I'm eating lunch or dinner outside. Today might be a really nice day to grill out since it's a little bit cooler.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. For the first time since 2018, Durham Public Schools will kick off the new school year with a convocation today. About 5,000 employees are expected to participate, along with a guest speaker. The school system will also unveil its latest strategic plan as well. Coming up next on Fox 50, what you need to know about a new road project underway in Chapel Hill aimed at protecting pedestrians. And then up next on Today, a teacher returns to her own high school for the surprise of a lifetime.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It won't feel quite as hot around town this afternoon. 87 in Raleigh, 85 in Durham, 88 in Fayetteville. Humidity is down too, but I'll show you why we're headed for record highs toward the end of the week.
Thousands of educators have packed Durham Memorial Stadium this morning for DPS's first convocation ceremony in 5 years. You can hear the crowd cheering now. We'll explain why this event is so important.
The northbound lane of MLK Boulevard near Estes Drive is closed today. Coming up, I'll explain how this could impact your morning commute.
8:30 is the time right now on our Wednesday morning. This is the payoff for the last couple of days of the heat.
We made it.
Yeah, we've made it to the halfway point.
Yeah.
And then it's going to go back the way it was. I'm Jeff Hogan. It's good to have you with us.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, well, we get a little bit of a break today, but it's going to get hot again by the end of the week. But you know what? We're going to focus on today. How about that? Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a look over Wilson at the Whirly Gigs. Those things are really going.
They are. Yeah, we're going to live in the moment with this beautiful day today. Lots of sunshine. Breezy there with those Whirly Gigs really spinning there in Wilson. Our temperature is 70 degrees in the triangle. Our dew point is a comfortable 63 and may drop into the upper 50s later this afternoon. It's still in the 60s in a few spots. 67 in Goldsboro, 68 Rocky Mount, 65 in South Hills, so feeling comfortable. 72 in Fayetteville, 71 in Southern Pines. But with a nice drop in humidity, it feels nice out there. We're going to see that all day. We'll see 83 degrees at lunchtime. We'll climb to 87 for the high later this afternoon. We do have some intense heat in our forecast, possible record highs on Friday. But in the 7-day forecast, we have more days with highs in the 80s than highs in the 90s. So we're getting somewhere. We'll take a look at that coming up. Tropical storm Franklin likely to make landfall here in the next couple of hours on the island of Hispaniola, moving north at 10 miles per hour with 50 mile per hour winds, and likely to dump as much as 5 to 10 inches of rain, and maybe even some isolated 12-inch totals, which is going to cause some mudslides and flooding for those folks, unfortunately. Then becoming a Category 1 storm and potentially moving off the coast of North Carolina. We'll take a look at this view of our computer model, and you can see the center of the storm, at least on this run, stays fairly far off the coast. However, we're likely to see some rip current danger and potentially some erosion due to high surf. We'll talk about some of those details coming up.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. We are days away from the start of the traditional school schedule, and today an event is happening to help your students succeed in the classroom. For the first time in 5 years, Durham Public Schools will kick off the new school year with a convocation. And WREL's Laura Levine is live at Durham County Stadium with the importance of this ceremony and all the excitement that's going on behind you, Laura.
Yeah, Michelle, I just interviewed Durham's Teacher of the Year, and she said it's really important that teachers motivate our students, but teachers need motivation too. So that's exactly why they're here. About 5,000 educators have packed the stadium. And right now we have speakers up on stage, but they've had the DJs, the cheerleaders, the band out here. It's really been such an exciting time. Superintendent Dr. Pascal Mubenga says this is a way to set the tone for the new year. Along with having that guest speaker, the school system has unveiled its latest strategic plan called Building Our Future. Very fitting, as 31,000 students will start school on Monday. We have discussed how DPS plans to tackle the challenges of bus driver shortages, teacher staffing, safety, and more. I spoke with Dr. Mubenga a lot about that, and he says they've seen a lot of progress with staffing, and we have recent numbers that he shared with us that we'll have much more information on in our upcoming newscast. But he says that they are ready, they are prepared, and this event is to make sure that teachers have that momentum to keep going, especially starting on Monday. Laura Levine, WREL News, live in Durham.
A new construction project is underway in Chapel Hill this morning. It is designed to protect pedestrians at dangerous intersections. Now, crews are working at the intersection of Martin Luther King Boulevard and Estes Drive. It's expected to last several months. WREL's Kelsey Coffey joins us now to explain how this will make walking and biking safer.
The northbound lane of MLK Boulevard near Estes Drive is now closed. Now, this is the section of the road that's between the YMCA, where I'm standing right now, and a little bit further down the road, the Shadowwood apartment complex. This lane is closing as crews work on a new sidewalk to increase pedestrian safety. There's been at least one pedestrian accident here over the past few years. Two teenagers were hit at this intersection on New Year's Eve back in 2021. Town leaders are organizing road safety initiatives to prevent situations like this one.
We know that speeding is a concern on MLK. A lot of our police department's speed enforcement efforts focus on that area.
And as parents are preparing to take their students to school next week, the town is asking for them to account for a little bit of extra time in their morning commute, as this could impact traffic. And if you use the bus stop that's here at the Y, that bus stop is now going to be moved to the Airport Road crosswalk. This closure is expected to last 3 months. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News in Chapel Hill.
And we're following breaking news in Fayetteville. Crews put out a fire in an abandoned house overnight. Fayetteville Fire Department says that it was intentionally set. They responded to Bevel Street just before 2:30 this morning. That's just behind the Sandpiper Buffet restaurant. The Fayetteville Fire Department says they are still investigating.
Parts of Texas are dealing with flooding caused by Harold. That storm made landfall yesterday as a tropical storm before quickly being downgraded to a tropical depression. It was the first storm of the 2023 Atlantic hurricane season to make landfall in the U.S. Decision 2024 now. The stage is set for the first Republican presidential debate tonight. The RNC announced 8 candidates qualified for the debate in Milwaukee. They include Donald Trump's former Vice President Mike Pence, Ron DeSantis, Chris Christie, Nikki Haley. The debate begins at 9 p.m. on Fox News. One of the most pivotal contamination stories in the United States is going on right here in our state. A facility in Fayetteville dumped toxic chemicals into the Cape Fear River. That's the drinking water supply for hundreds of thousands of people. These forever chemicals also contaminated the air and groundwater surrounding the plant. It is the subject of our latest WRAL documentary premiering tonight. WRAL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance co-reported on this important topic with Liz McLaughlin, WRAL's reporter covering environmental issues. They spent months traveling to the contaminated areas and talking with people who use contaminated water every day. Forever chemicals are linked to health problems, including cancer, thyroid problems, and birth defects.
What kind of keeps you up at night when you think about people just drinking this?
I think about effects of PFAS exposure on babies and children and adolescents because they're not fully formed.
The chemicals, what are they doing to the kids?
Chemours is the company that owns the plant. They told WRAL there is no evidence to show the forever chemicals cause these specific health problems. You can watch Forever Chemicals, North Carolina's toxic tap water, tonight at 7:30 on WRAL or on WRAL.com, or you can see it on the WRAL Doc YouTube page at 8 o'clock.
Coming up, the father of an NFL player died in a home explosion. See the breathtaking video of what's left of the multi-million dollar home and what investigators think caused the explosion.
Plus, packing school lunches for picky eaters, it can be difficult. We have advice to make the experience more fun for you and them so they'll actually eat what you pack.
And you're taking a live look at Lewisburg this morning. Plenty of blue skies and sunshine. Get outside today because it's a lot cooler. It's nice out there. Elizabeth will tell us how long this weather will stick around.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, as we've been reporting, Tropical Storm Franklin roaring toward Hispaniola. This is brand new video into our news zoom just in the last couple of hours. This is out of the Dominican Republic, specifically Santo Domingo. The storm bringing high wind gusts, pummeling the shoreline, as you can see there. Now, according to the Dominican Republic Center for Emergency Operations, 25 provinces are under red alert for possible flooding of rivers, streams, and creeks. 7 provinces are under a less severe yellow alert. Now, of course, this is a developing story that we will continue to track in the WREO Severe Weather Center. Speaking of which, let's get right to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner. And Elizabeth, around here, you're tracking some relief from the heat we've been experiencing.
Yeah, I think this is a day that a lot of folks have been looking forward to. But of course, there on the island of Hispaniola, they can see 5 to 10 inches of rain, and flooding looks likely in parts of that island. Right now, we take a live look at Fayetteville. It looks beautiful. We're seeing mostly clear skies. Fayetteville, of course, being in the southern part of the viewing area, was one of the last to see some of the cooler temperatures, but temperatures there are right around 70. Our dew point in the triangle is 63. Our temperature likely this afternoon in the low to mid 80s and upper 80s for highs this afternoon. Weather watcher, NC State student Ethan Clark, showing the folks headed out to class. Of course, first week of class there at NC State, and boy, the first 2 days of class, it was a brutal walk around. Walking to class this morning should feel much more comfortable. Right now, it's 70 in Durham and Raleigh, 67 South Hill, 69 in Goldsboro, 71 in Southern Pines, and 72 in Fayetteville. Our temperatures overall are cooler than yesterday, and in most places, noticeably cooler, 5 degrees in Durham, Raleigh, Goldsboro, and Fayetteville, cooler than it was this time yesterday. It's 10 degrees cooler in South Hill than this time yesterday. This afternoon, 87 in Raleigh, 85 in Durham, and 88 in Fayetteville. We have a nice dry air mass that moved in behind last night's front, but the humidity is not far away. Back out here to our east and to our far west, and it's going to fill in the gap by tomorrow around lunchtime. So tomorrow will feel hotter and more humid again. But we do have another front that'll come through. That one swings through late on Saturday, bringing us some more relief on Sunday. But between now and then, our heat will continue to build. Today, feeling comfortable. Thursday and Friday, steamy, and then tropical on Saturday before that next front comes through. 87 feeling like 87 today, but 93 feeling like 95 tomorrow. 99 Friday feeling like 104 or hotter. And in some places, some parts of our viewing area could see a heat advisory for both Friday and Saturday. Friday also could tie or even break a record high, the record 99. And that's our forecast for Raleigh, the record set back in 2007. And in Fayetteville, the forecast 100 and the records 100 set back in 1968. So near record heat for the start of the weekend. So big roller coaster up, big roller coaster down as we hit 89 again on Sunday with some drier, less humid conditions. And for the first day of school, temperatures should be in the upper 60s as kids are heading out the door. And we'll see mid 80s for Monday and Tuesday. Notice the thunderstorm icons, though, that start to show up on Friday. We're looking a bit cooler by the start of next week. We'll also have a chance of a few scattered storms each afternoon.
Thanks, Elizabeth. A Raleigh man accused of beating his mother to death could get the death penalty. Christopher McCullough made a brief appearance in court yesterday, 24 hours after his mother died from her injuries. He's accused of beating both of his parents at their home on August 6th in front of his two-year-old son. His father is still in the hospital. Today, a judge appointed an attorney for McCullough, and he's being held on no bond. He'll be back in court September 12th.
Newly released body camera video shows officers rescuing a woman they found chained inside a house in Louisville, Kentucky. The officers responded to the home last week after reports of a woman screaming for help. And when they got there, police found the front door was barricaded. Neighbors told the officers about a ladder on the side of the home they could use to get inside. On the second floor, they found the woman with a chain around her neck and a padlock that the chain was attached to on the floor. Officers used an axe to break that chain. A couple of days later, 36-year-old Moises May was arrested for kidnapping, among other charges.
Neighbors and family members are in shock this morning after a home explosion on Lake Norman that killed the father of an NFL player. Investigators say 61-year-old Robert Farley died in the explosion just before midnight Monday night in Mooresville. The home was owned by his son, Caleb, who plays for the Tennessee Titans. Neighbors say they're stunned by what happened.
We took a walk over. Very shocking to see the house just demolished. It was a beautiful house. And debris everywhere.
A family friend is recovering from a concussion that he suffered in the explosion. Investigators have not said what the official cause of the explosion was, but Airedale County's EMS director says it was likely natural gas.
The U.S. is facing a critical nursing home shortage. A Wall Street Journal report says the country has lost at least 600 of the facilities in the past 6 years. That leaves some patients stuck in hospitals for months waiting for an open slot. The issue is that many older people prefer to get care in their own homes. And that drains workers from nursing facilities as the U.S. senior population is set to surge. It could swell from 56 million to 81 million by the end of the decade.
Finding something to pack in your child's lunchbox can be a real challenge every day, but it's even harder when your child is a picky eater, right? WREL Lifestyle Editor Kathy Hanrahan is here with a few tips to help. Kathy, you have a son. What can parents do to get your kids to eat?
I've got a son, I've got a daughter, and they're all picky eaters. And they're still picky eaters. Doesn't matter what age, they just are picky eaters. So we, right now on WREL's family section on WREL.com, we have got a great story from a former behavioral and feeding specialist over at Duke. And she breaks down things that you can do. She said it all starts with the lunchbox. Let them pick their lunchbox. The color, the shape, the characters. And if you want to do a bento box like one of these, just let them pick the color and the type, because then they'll feel kind of ownership of it. They'll feel proud of it, and they might think it's cool, and it'll be a little easier for them to bring it to school.
I like that a lot. They can pick the color, like you said. They can pick the shape, the size. So what are we putting inside that box? How do we decide on that?
Okay, so you got to start off. She suggests portion sizes should be small. So think about like a regular Lunchable, if they like Lunchables. You can make your own healthy Lunchable. I've got the lunch meat cut up. You've got some pepperoni, some crackers, cheese, even a little sweet thing right there. You've got some animal crackers. You could also do things like cut your sandwiches into little shapes, cut your fruit into shapes. I love this. I love to do this with the watermelon. You just can use a cookie cutter. It's very simple. Use a cookie cutter, and then you get cool shapes.
I like that.
And your kid is more likely to eat a cute star.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, I'm more likely to eat a cute star, too.
You can see just a basic cookie cutter you can use to make the sandwich and easily cut the sandwich.
I love that. It's
easy stuff.
I love that. And some schools, Kathy, they're peanut-free facilities. What can parents do if their child is, you know, is a peanut butter and jelly fan? What can they have instead?
Okay, so my favorite is sunflower butter. I find that sunflower seed butter is the best. And I've got that. And this is a sunflower seed butter and jelly sandwich. And it tastes closest to peanut butter.
Okay.
And I can put that with a little jelly, take the crust off there, cut it a little heart. My daughter can bring this and enjoy it.
Oh, I love that.
That's very tasty. And that's a good alternative. And they also have things like Sammy Jammies, which are in the toddler section for the smaller kids. Mm-hmm. And they have apple and kale. So you could always do that option as well and sneak a little vegetable in there.
That's always a challenge, I'm sure, right?
Yes.
I love that so much. Some great tips, Kathy. Thank you so much. And for more on this family-friendly event, you can go to WREL.com and search family. I now want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Thanks, Kathy.
A salmonella outbreak has been linked to small turtles. These are cases across 11 states, including here in North Carolina. The CDC has issued safety instructions for people who have them as pets. Officials say don't kiss or snuggle with them. In addition to do not buy turtles for children under 5 years of age or adults over 65. Wash your hands after touching a turtle. Don't drink or eat around your turtle. 26 people have become sick with this salmonella outbreak. At least 9 have been hospitalized. No deaths have been reported.
Lauryn Hill is reuniting with her old bandmates to celebrate the 25th anniversary of her acclaimed solo album. The Fugees will join Hill for the October and November U.S. dates of her tour. As part of the set list, Hill will perform her 1998 album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. It was the first hip-hop record to win Album of the Year at the Grammys. It also made Hill the first woman to win 5 or more Grammys in a single night. That tour kicks off September 8th.
You can now turn yourself into one of these Funko Pop figurines. Countless celebrities have gotten a Funko figurine made after them, and now you can as well. The creation process will let you pick from millions of customizations right on the website. You can make one of them look like you or make it look like someone else and send it to them as a gift. Each customized figurine retails for about $30. All right, grab your tissues for this one. This next story will have you crying happy tears. It's not every day you see a proposal on TV.
And coming up right now, we have the story of two young journalists who just so happen to find love in the same industry. I'm gonna cry.
Would you marry me?
I'm gonna cry, yeah.
This is so heartwarming. It's a moment that happened at a news station in Chattanooga, Tennessee. That anchor there, Cornelia Nicholson, was recording a news update, and her now fiancé, Riley Nagel, surprised her with a big question there. Somebody else has snuck the copy into the teleprompter.
Yeah.
She started reading her own story, didn't even realize it. They work at the same station. They worked together when they were at the NBC affiliate in Montana 4 years ago. And they now plan to spend the rest of their lives and journalism careers, I imagine, together.
I love that so much. It's so sweet. They're a beautiful couple. That ring, let me just tell you something. He did good because that ring is so beautiful. And I like it took her. It really didn't take her that long to realize what was happening. I think I'd just keep reading and then I'd be like, oh, wait a second. This is me. Hold on. What's going on? She read like the first couple of lines and then she was like, this is not a news story.
She's reading her own love story.
So sweet.
And then you see him come walking in
with the flowers and the ring box. So sweet. Congratulations
to
them.
Good stuff.
All right, well, it's being dubbed as the cutest race ever. It happened Tuesday at a fair in Pennsylvania.
Ready? Yeah. 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 Set. Yeah. Go.
Oh, 29 babies attempted to crawl their way to the finish line during the baby race. Some got a little distracted. It was their coaches, mostly moms and dads, armed with gadgets and toys, trying to get them to the finish line. Some came ready to win, like this guy here. In the end, there was a clear winner. 10-month-old Althea Ruoff took home a $200 prize. She made it to the finish line. That's so cute. I love it. All right, before we go to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll be right back.